Thank you for another evening you've given us, God. And Father, I just pray that you would bless our time as we look into your word. Lord, as we look into this thing about faith and faith not having works being dead, as James had written to us. And I just pray that you would bring clarity and understanding to your word, Lord God, as we look at it this evening. Thank you for everything that you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives, Lord. And just be glorified now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." We read in Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." So we're seeing a distinction here. Works not relating to the law in the Old Testament. You see, back in Paul's day, there were those who were saying you had to do the works of the law in order to be saved. But Paul's answer to that was the works of the law will not save you. Only faith in Christ can save you. So we see here Paul and James are both talking about the foundation of faith. Now this is very important. Verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm, be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." That's the key here to the text. "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead." So what kind of works are we talking about here? Verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. "Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, again, the distinction here, James is not talking about the works of the law, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament. He's saying the faith which saves you will produce works. What kind of works are we talking about here? Works of faith. Works of faith. He's talking about a professing faith that is genuine. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" You see, that's why we need to look at our lives on a daily basis to see and make sure we are really in the faith. If we're not examining our lives, then we're deceiving ourselves into thinking we're okay, that our walk is all right, when actually it's not. As a pastor, all I can do is warn people when I see them starting to slip and dip, fall away. But it's up to them to make the necessary changes if they truly want to continue in a right standing before God. And you can add, continue to be used by Him. Because guys, I'm telling you, there is the possibility of being disqualified. I've learned through the years, anyone can profess faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. So are we talking fruit of the loom, or what are we talking here? Well, let me give you some ideas. So what kind of life are they living? What is coming out of their mouth? What are their motives in doing what they claim to be doing in the name of Jesus Christ? Let me give you an illustration. The story is told of the devil having a meeting with his demons to decide how to persuade men that God was non-existent. Since they believed in his existence, the demons here, they wondered just how to do it. Well, one demon suggested they tell people Jesus never really existed and that men should not believe such fiction. Another demon suggested they persuade men that death ends all. There's no need to worry about life after death. Finally, one demon stepped forward and he suggested they tell everyone there is a God, there is Jesus Christ, and that believing in Him saves. But all you have to do is profess faith in Christ and then go on living in sin. That's one of the devil's tactics. And you know what? I got to tell you, the dude is still using it today. You see, if you're a true believer, you're going to be acting out and doing what you believe according to God's word. That means as one of God's children, you can't have your own way. In fact, you're going to want to do it God's way. It's hands down. Now that God's Spirit is living inside of you, you will have fruit in your life. If you don't, then something is terribly wrong. A Christian doesn't do as they please. They do as Christ pleases. You guys catching the stride here? James is saying the walk has to match the talk. This is where faith and works come in. How many times have we told a brother or sister that we would pray for them? And we told them, look, you guys, God's going to provide. When all along the Lord might have been placing us there to do the providing. This is where we need to be sensitive to the fact God just might want to use us to help the individual out or people out or to be a part of something that God is doing. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 to 35, He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Paul said in Romans 13, 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another, here it is, has fulfilled the law. The point? You can't say you're a Christian and live it like it's not your problem when people are hurting or in need. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not necessarily talking about someone that comes to you and wants some money for something, because you don't know what they're going to do with the money. I mean, what are they going to spend it on? That's where the discernment comes in as to whom God would have us help out, because we could end up getting in the way of something God might be trying to do in that person's life. And just because someone professes to be a Christian, it doesn't mean they are. They need to be tested. They have to be tested to see if they are or are not a Christian. Now, why would James say, if faith doesn't have works, it's dead? Well, because living and saving faith produces works. Paul said faith is going to produce fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Here's where we have faith in Christ. And having faith in Christ, we're able to bear fruit. The works follow. A minister was talking to a man who professed being saved. And he asked, have you joined a church? No, I haven't, the man replied. The dying thief never joined a church. He went to heaven. Minister asked, have you ever sat at the Lord's table? No, the dying thief never did, and he was accepted. The minister asked, have you been baptized? No, he said, the dying thief was never baptized. He went to heaven. Have you ever given to missions? No, the dying thief didn't give to missions. He wasn't judged for it. The disgusted minister said to the man, well, my friend, the difference between the two of you is that he was a dying thief and you're a living thief. I love it. Just professing faith in Christ is not evidence of saving faith. James is saying even the demons believe. In fact, they tremble at God's presence. Faith without the fruit of faith is what's dead. As far as the world is concerned, it shows them faith means nothing to you. If you say you have faith and there's no fruit from your faith, there's nothing following, then the world's going to look at you like you're an idiot. You're nuts. Abraham was justified by faith when he offered up his son Isaac. They're on Mount Moriah, which is the tallest point of the Temple Mount. When you look at Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock Mosque, the highest little part, it's just a small little adobe there that they believe is where Abraham offered up Isaac. That's where they're going to be building the tribulation temple. Abraham's faith caused him to lift that knife to do something that he didn't believe God would ever ask him to do. But because God told him to kill his only son, Abraham was willing to do it. This is where faith comes in. Abraham believed if God would have him go through with killing his son, he believed that God would also raise his son Isaac from the dead. If you know the story there in Genesis chapter 22, you know Abraham never offered Isaac because God provided a substitute. A ram was caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham was willing to act only because he believed God. Rahab was justified by works in Joshua 2. I mean, she received the spies from Israel. She hid them from her people and then told the spies how to escape so they wouldn't get caught. You see, what Rahab did was to literally lay her life on the line by turning her back on her old life and on her own people. After hearing for 40 years of what God had done with the children of Israel, Rahab believed God was going to give the children of Israel the land. So it happened. She believed God and she got involved. She was justified before God by her faith, as it says in Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab, who was a harlot, was justified by works, by what she did. This is the type of works that we're talking about here, faith and works. But you know what's even more amazing to me? We see her listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:5. Can you believe that? Rahab had a son named Boaz who married a young lady named Ruth, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, the second king of Israel. David's great-grandma was Rahab the harlot. You talk about God's amazing grace. To wrap this up, if you have a living faith, there's going to be fruit in your life. This is the bottom line here. I like what Oswald Chambers said. He said, "Beware of worshiping Jesus as the Son of God and professing your faith in him as the Savior of the world while you blaspheme him by the complete evidence in your daily life that he is powerless to do anything in and through you." Faith without works is dead. If you're a genuine believer, you know what? You're going to want to please God so bad that these works just follow. They just come right out of your heart, right out of your life. It's just something that's natural. That's what these works are all about. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us in your word to clarify up and to look at some illustrations and examples of faith and works and what it entails in the life of a believer. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be men and women of faith, genuine faith, that the works just follow. They just follow because we love you, God, and because we want to please you and glorify you, and we want to be a part of what you're doing in this life, Lord. Father, I pray you go before us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.